You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill, Sam Norris and James Millman with you on this edition to preview the action on Sunday. We've got two races from Pontefract and two over the jumps at Uttoxeter to come. They're also racing at Carlisle on Sunday, so three meetings to get your teeth stuck into. And we're on air from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Rory Delaghi in the studio on Sunday. But first things first, how are you, James Millman?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, Sam.
Very good. Enjoyed the racing over the last few days? Controversy at Ascot?
Yeah,
on Friday.
There's always a little bit of controversy, isn't there? I'm sure we can find something to talk about generally during the week. But yesterday there was a fair bit at Ascot with a controversial disqualification, I suppose, and the fact that a horse that finished second had no interference and was probably the third best horse in the day has ended up getting the race. But I'd say, for me, that's the way we need to go forward, because it's going to be a serious accident at some point, because jockeys are kind of having the win-at-all-costs mentality. And if there's no threat of disqualification, sometimes like a small holiday with a ban isn't proven effective.
Yeah, indeed. This is the 3:30 at Ascot, of course, on Friday. This was the listed Valiant Stakes, where Jamie Spencer was first past the post on his mount, Namruda. And that was demoted down to third after interfering with Ryan Moore's charge, Irish Rookie. And then the race went the way of the second horse, Red Box, for Sir Mark Prescott and Luke Morris. And what we saw was Jamie Spencer, in no uncertain terms, shutting the door on Ryan Moore, it's fair to say, on the far rail. From an ex-jockey's point of view, James, you've already touched on a little bit there. Is that great race riding or is that just dangerous?
Dangerous. It was too late. Unfortunately, Jamie come off the rail and didn't realise in time. He had his whip in his right hand. The horse was hanging right-handed. So from Ryan, who was tracking Jamie at that time, kind of knew that it was very unlikely the horse was naturally going to drift back onto the rail. So you know there's a gap there. So Ryan was perfectly entitled to take it. If Jamie had closed it 20 strides earlier, it would have been fine, because Ryan was far enough back that he would have closed off a gap and Ryan would have to have gone around him. But he did it when Ryan was 3/4 of the way in the gap.
In the gap, yeah.
And it was a violent swerve. Ryan would have shouted. Generally, most jockeys shout for a gap, or just to let you know where you are, because obviously when you're riding a horse, you've not got wing mirrors, like you haven't got in a car when you're making manoeuvres. So you're always going to shout if you think someone's going to lean on you, just to try and warn them that you're there and not have an accident. We saw Ryan's expression pulling up. I don't think he was particularly impressed with what happened. And the distances were very small as well.
Yes.
Jamie only got a three-day ban. But if we go back to Kinema at Royal Ascot, in a race where I thought that should have been the squad, if I Franberry got an 80-day ban and can cause considerable more interference to Ryan Moore again, he's not having a great season in that kind of respect. But that interference was so bad that Ryan had to check badly and his horse got beat a length and a half. And the stewards deemed that it wasn't enough to warrant changing the result, but the reason he was so far behind was because the interference was so bad that he had no chance to get back into, I think it was a short head and a neck, I think it was yesterday, between the three horses. But for me, that horse should have been basically the same scenario. I think they should have disqualified that one as well. So we're lacking a little bit of consistency, but for me, these decisions, it's actually a good thing, because it's going to make jockeys think twice. Bad enough getting banned, no one jockey wants to get banned, because you're going to be off for a few days. Jamie Spencer's missing the Shergold Cup, which would have been a big payday with some nice rides for good trainers and good horses. So he suffered that way, but the actual disqualification, then you really upset the connections that you're riding for. And
yes,
it's a lot more costly, especially when you go in higher grade races, which is generally the more win it all costs attitude comes across. So right decision was made. And yes, it's probably unfortunate that we've had Red Box, who, like I say, was third best in the day, has been awarded a listed race, but you've got to ride within the rules. And like I say, I think that was the right decision was made.
In terms of the ban, then, 3 days, as you mentioned there, for Jamie Spencer, obviously the fact that it's come around Shergar Cup time is a big deterrent, but that's very much coincidental. And had he been picking up a three-day ban in a month's time, is that much of a deterrent for, especially a jockey of his stature, 3 days for a ban? Considering if it wasn't the Shergar Cup, he might just be missing any of the three days.
It's still, for me...
Should it be longer, basically?
For me, riding... in Australia, they give them like 28 days for that kind of interference.
Right.
I think Frankie Torrey got a massive ban in the Melbourne Cup one year. But even I was only riding probably one or two rides a day. I'd hate to be banned and not being able to ride his horses, because it's kind of a little bit of a knock-on effect. Because you miss a ride once and they win, that jockey could stay on there for the future. So you definitely don't want to be getting banned. Obviously, if they're only going to be missing a couple of Monday and Tuesdays, and it's probably not quite so bad. But the way the bans work, it's 2 weeks in advance. So if you get banned on a Saturday, you're banned again
for the next Saturday,
which generally is our bigger races. So that kind of is a little bit more of a deterrent. And I'll say 3 days, I thought was quite lucky, to be honest, for what he did. Bearing in mind, Franberry got 8 days.
Ken couldn't believe it.
Ken thought, well, he's going to get like a week.
Or more, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought it was lenient. Yeah. But again, at the end of the day, for me, stewarding, I think we should have a centralised stewarding in London with professional people doing it every single day. They should be making decisions to get a little bit more consistency. Because at the moment, we've got people that are doing it for a hobby and they have a nice lunch, a few drinks, and then they make their decisions then. So for a very professional sport where there's a lot of money involved, it's about time you had professional stewards, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. Away from the controversy then at Ascot on Friday, we've got, of course, Glorious Goodwood coming up this week as well, James. Always a fantastic few days at Goodwood, and this year looks no exception. Some belting races possibly coming up.
Yeah, we've got increased prize money at Goodwood. Obviously, Qatar are quite a big influence there, and some great racing. The Sussex Stakes looks to be a cracker.
Another rematch of the three Guineas winners, who of course met in the St James Palace.
I think the Gurkha will come out on top this time.
Yeah, I think you certainly won't be the only person who holds that opinion. A lot of people think that with the ride switched round, for example, then the Gurkha was probably the best horse in the St James Palace. It's 7-4 Galileo Gold, 15-8 the Gurkha, and the fact that Rortard's out at 7-1 shows that the market anyway certainly believes that it's between Galileo Gold and the Gurkha, the first two home.
No, it was an interesting race. Frankie gave Galileo Gold a great ride at Ascot. I thought circumstances of why the Gurkha was a little bit too far, but I didn't jump on the Let's Blame Ryan Moore bandwagon. He's not having a very good season, blah, blah, blah. In a flat race, if you're drawn one and you want to hold a horse, so you miss the brake slightly, there's not a lot you can do. You can't just bulldoze your way through or pull out and go five wide and then get back in. So I think that's what people forget a lot of the time, and especially in a flat race, unlike jumping. You can kind of see how it's going to pan out before they even jump off, because you know what sort they're going to be in, you know generally how their running style is going to be. So that was always possible. The round track at Ascot's a very hard track to ride. Frankie used the pacemakers, although they weren't for him, he used them to his advantage. Yeah. And like I say, it was a great ride from Frankie. I just thought circumstances conspired against Ryan. But Goodwood, a tricky track to ride as well. Not a track I enjoyed riding at. You get a lot of unlucky and running incidents, a lot of bans. Jockeys have a bit of a sweepstake in the weighing room. How many bans are going to be totted up for the whole day? Because obviously 5 days of racing at a track and some good racing. Normally it's about 28, 29 days banned. So it's pretty high and it's not an easy track to ride at all. So it could all go wrong again. But for me, the Gurkha is the one to beat.
Okay. We're looking forward to Glorious Goodwood. Of course, we've got the Galway Festival as well over in Ireland next week. Probably a reason why we have no Irish action on Sunday. But we do have three domestic meetings. Pontefract, Carlisle and Uttoxeter are on the agenda. We're going to focus on Uttoxeter and Pontefract on this edition. We begin with a couple of National Hunt races at Uttoxeter, starting with their 3:35 novices chase here over 2.5 miles. The Dead Eight stand their ground at time of recording. Who's caught the eye here, James?
Yeah, an interesting race. Presenting Arms is the highest rated individual. He's rated 139. He's had a couple of starts over fences. And not more than a couple. He's actually had 5 runs, 1 win, a couple of seconds and a third. And his last two starts have been pretty decent. At Worcester, He ran a cracker in a handicap chase off 1.35. Probably a little bit disappointing when beaten by San Benedicto last time, but I say he loves quick ground, as the Sunday presenting would suggest. And Harry Fry has kind of placed him well, I think, to be honest, to find this. He's got the one penalty, obviously. Noel Feely takes the ride. I think he'll be the one to beat, because Princeton Royal is rated £5 lower than him. Neil King's runner, with Trevor Wien in the plate. He's a little bit inconsistent, but he seemed to enjoy running over fences for the first time when he beat DeSoto County at Cartmel. But that's a pretty unique track, and that's what he might have enjoyed. He has won at Etoxeter in the past. I just think Presenting Arms is probably a slightly classier animal. Milan Bowen, we've not seen him for 229 days, so he might just need to run for John Joe O'Neill. Nicholas Jarvan has been a little bit disappointing. He won two starts back, but wasn't cited last time. He's got about £12 a fine in the ratings with Presenting Arms. So I think, on the whole, Harry Fry's found it a good opportunity for Presenting Arms, and he's the one to beat.
Presenting Arms then for James, the combination of Harry Fry and Noel Feely in that 3.35 at Utoxeter. We stay at Utoxeter now for their 4.45. A couple of races later, a handicap chase here over 2.5 miles. 12 runners this time go down for this class two. And decent pot on offer, and it's attracted a good field, James.
Yeah, definitely. 30 grand on offer. Summer jumping isn't seen very often. And we've got some nice, decent horses. Sharp Rise has done very well since joining the Chai Longson Yard. It was originally trained by Pauline Robson, but sold at the sales, and tried a good summer campaign of him winning at Worcester and Utoxeter before just getting beat off 1.49 last time out. And they had a conditional jockey on him to try and ease the burden a little bit. They've gone back for the champion, Richard Johnson, tomorrow. But 1.50, his first win for Charlie came off 1.33, so he's now £17 higher, and I think that might just stop him, to be honest, in what's a pretty competitive race. But the alternative isn't that easy. I'd probably take a chance of one near the bottom of the weights, and that's Manella, definitely, for Neil Mulholland. And Dennis O'Regan taking the ride. This horse was rated as high as 1.30 last year, but just lost his way a little bit. But back in the winner's enclosure at Cartmel last time, like we said earlier on in the previous race, Cartmel is a little bit of a unique track, but just getting a bit of confidence back from Nina, definitely might just see him follow up under Dennis O'Regan. Easy Street's interesting. Won two of his last three starts. Unfortunately, unseated his rider at Market Raisin last time. Couldn't tell where he was going to continue the improvement, but he's another one that's gone up a lot in the handicap. Was 1.05 for his first win, now 1.25, so he's £20 higher. That would be the slight question mark for me, is whether he can continue progressing. But he's only six. He's definitely the most unexposed horse in the field. But he's probably going to be quite a short price for one that did hit the deck last time. So I'm going to stick with him there, definitely, in what's a pretty competitive event.
Okay, Manila definitely then James's choice in that one for Neil Mulholland. We go to Pontefract now for a couple of races on the level, and we start with their feature race of the day. This is the 4 o'clock, a listed event as well. This is the Pontefract Stakes over just further than a mile. 8 runners down to go to post at time of recording, and you should at least have the inside track on one of these, James.
Yeah, definitely. Master Carpenter makes the trip up north. Hopefully we get a little bit of rain around, because back down to a mile, he would prefer a little bit given the ground. But not too sure what the weather's going to do, to be honest. It's been threatening, but it's not actually come down. So that'd be the slight concern for me. But he's probably the most talented and consistent horse in the race. He a little bit disappointing last week, but he might just have needed it after a month off after running in the Coronation Cup at Newbury. And this does look to be probably the weakest race he's running this year, because he's generally been running Group 3, Group 2s, and not been disgraced at all. He's only a length behind Canic Chase at Chester, 3 lengths behind My Dream Boat, 6 lengths behind Bellardo. So this would be definitely a drop in grade for him. And hopefully he can run a good race under Sylvester D'Souza. So he will be the selection. I'm not going to be going away from him. But there are a few interesting horses in opposition. Convey is one that has the talent to win races. He's obviously rated 1-1-1 for a reason. But he does seem to find ways to get beat. He's not won since debut. And a couple of races this year at York and Haydock, you could argue that perhaps he should have won. Favourite for the Hunt Cup, things didn't go well, and was a little bit disappointing in the summer mile at Ascot 2 weeks ago. So he's not really a trustworthy favourite. Kentucky Connection has been a bit in and out for Brian Smart. He obviously ran a cracker to finish fifth in the Guineas. How strong that form was, I don't really know. But ran better behind Luminaire last time, so That one's interesting. Elgarth has only been seen once this year, which was a disappointing effort. Bossy Guest seems to have lost his way. Sound of Ice, Caparosso, Grazzi. You wouldn't really think they're up to winning a listed race. So hopefully Mouser Carpenter can get back in the winner's enclosure. So I'd say I'll be sticking with the old man's horse.
Okay, James sticks with the Millman running then. Mouser Carpenter under SDS. Rare ride for the yard for Sylvester?
Yeah, he doesn't have too many rides for us. He did actually have one the other day. But I'd say the champion jockey. Although he could do with a winner. I think he's gone about 40 rides since his last winner.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
So hopefully he gets one today and just gets a bit of confidence back for when he rides Mouser Carpenter tomorrow. But I'd say he's champion jockey for a reason. So shouldn't be long before he is back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, nice booking if you can get him. That's the 4 o'clock then at Ponte. We go to their next race now for race number 4 on the podcast. This is the 4:35 handicap here over 6 furlongs. 9 runners go down to post for this one. What did you make of it?
Yeah, an interesting race. I like my raid for Tony Coyle and Barry Magoo. He ran in a race which was running Memorial for Tony Coyle's partner, and obviously he was very keen to win that race. But this horse just found 5 furlongs a little bit on the sharp side, and he was absolutely flying at the end when he had absolutely nowhere to go. So he was really unlucky in that event. Back up to 6 furlong in a stiffer track, I think, was suit. And Moreb will be the one to beat. A few interesting ones in opposition. Reputation has been running in some big races for John Quinn, and they've gone to trouble of booking Sylvester D'Souza. Nice draw in stall 3. This is probably the easiest task he's faced for a little while. So he's definitely interesting. Explain, typical roof car horse, been in very, very good form recently. Won at Thirsk off 79 and has been placed off his mark subsequently. But I do think that Moreb was an eye-catching runner the other day, and I think he can follow up.
Moreb then, the one for James in the 4:35 at Ponte. Just give us a quick recap, please, of your 4 picks for the action on Sunday.
Yeah, you got some good racing to look forward to on Sunday. Some good prize money on offer. Presenting Arms, I think, can win the Novice Chase, the 3:35 at Yatoxta. 2 good seconds in stronger races than this at Worcester. I think he can get back in the winner's enclosure. And the feature at Yatoxta, the 4:45. We're going from there, definitely, who got a bit of confidence winning last time out and is still well handicapped on his old form for Dennis O'Regan and Neil Mulholland. In the listed race at Pontefract at 4 o'clock, we're going to stick with Mouser Carpenter, his best opportunity in a while, although we could do with some rain falling for him. And then find a 4:35 at Pontefract. We're going to go for the unlucky in running Moreb, who should be suited to stepping back up to 6 furlongs for Tony Coyle.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. Remember to tune into Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Rory Delaghi guiding you through the cards at Yatoxta and Pontefract, and also Carlisle alongside them. Thank you very much for that, James. Best of luck tomorrow, and best of luck to Mouser Carpenter too.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.